Good morning. This is the KUNM Collin Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us this morning. Most major cities across the U.S. have local Occupy Wall Street movements. In New Mexico, movements are organizing in places like Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Taos, Farmington, Las Cruces, Española. What does the Occupy movement look like in your community? Have you gone down to the local Occupy location? Have you attended a general assembly, the meetings held for discussion, organizing, and strategy? If yes, why and what did you see? If not, why not? What do you think of the strategies of local Occupy movements? And what do you think about the law enforcement response in places like Oakland, like we just heard in the newscast from NPR? We'd like to hear from you this morning. Join the conversation. It is a call-in show. The number locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. And you can send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. And all of this information is located on our website, kunm.org. Here in the studio this morning, we're joined by Sebastian Pais. He is a participant in the Unoccupy movement here in Albuquerque. Tuesday night, about 30 protesters were arrested for failing to leave university property after UNM's administration chose not to renew a permit for the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement. We're also joined by phone by Judith Lawson. She is the media coordinator for the Occupy Santa Fe movement. Judith, let's start off with you. Good morning.
Good morning, Elaine.
Can you explain where protesters are camped out now in Santa Fe and what that location is like and how long have you been there?
The Occupy encampment is in Rail Yard Park, between Cerrillos Road and St. Francis Drive and, Guadalupe. It's a very large and greatly loved park. It's an ecological park. We occupied the park on Sunday and have been there continuously with about 20 tents, a large heated meeting tent, a kitchen tent. We're a very organized campsite and are doing our utmost to not only cooperate with City of Santa Fe, various officials and organizations that have a hand in running and caring for the Rail Yard Park, but we are doing our best to be of help, to be a boon, by effectively patrolling the park at night with two people on watch at all times. There is a problem in Santa Fe with homeless drug and alcohol using and abusing people, and they happen to focus on Rail Yard Park.
Judith, I want to follow up with another question. What is the kind of the legal situation for the encampment in Santa Fe? Is this something that the encampment has needed a permit in order to occupy the space?
No permits, because legally, under the city laws, there is not to be any camping in the city parks. I think because of Santa Fe's very open, creative, and progressive nature, and our wonderful mayor, David Koss, and our wonderful police force, who support us and are helping us, we are in a situation where we're keenly aware that it's day by day. And if we don't live up to the very high standards of keeping the park in immaculate condition, no incidents, it's adhering to our own principles of nonviolence, kindness, courtesy, respect, that we could be out of there in the blink of an eye. So that is our situation.
How many people are staying at the Occupy Santa Fe encampment?
The occupiers who are camping variously numbered. Now, remember, last night was very cold and rainy, and has the temperatures dropping even now. So we, up until then, had anywhere between a dozen and possibly three dozen at the encampment.
Great. Thanks, Judith. Sebastian, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday night, the university arrested some of the Unoccupy Albuquerque protesters who did not leave the Camp Coyote location on the UNM campus This was after the permit for the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement was not renewed by the university. Talk to me a little bit about the repercussions of this for the Unoccupy movement. What's going on now?
Well, the repercussions are good in one sense because, of course, a lot of people, regardless of whether they agree with our strategies or our demands, they see this as an attack to our freedom of speech and assembly. And so a lot of people came out throughout the night on Tuesday, and I heard that they stay out until throughout the night. And these are not necessarily people that have been participating until now. And yesterday, after we gathered at the park and the police came and told us that we had to leave, we had an increase in assembly members. So in that sense, it has been positive because it clearly shows that the number one thing we're here for is to defend this democracy. And again, as it has been said before, this movement brings people from all kinds of ideological backgrounds. And people are once they show up and they experience these assemblies, they realize that there is a space for open debate about different ideas. And so in that sense, it's been good. I think it can grow. It has a possibility for growth right now. And there are a lot of measures that will be taken, you know, starting yesterday at 6 in the last assembly. Of course, the bad is that we could be there peacefully, keep assembly, keep working on improving this country, this society, where we could be working with UNM, you know, in a positive way, not entering into this conflict that is not necessary, that we don't want. And it has been shown. It has been shown when we were asked to move from our initial location. They asked us to move to Yale Park. We debated it. We said why it was a good idea, because we are respecting Earth. And we decided to move. And then they asked for a permit. We applied for a permit because clearly...
Was the permit just for the kind of kitchen facility that was set up here in Albuquerque at the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement? Was the permit specifically for that facility?
Our understanding is that, yes, we have the right to assembly there, but because we had a kitchen there, we needed a permit. But it has been, you know, in a gray area, so they're not very clear into why we need a permit. And right now, they have banned this group from campus.
Let me pause you for a minute, Sebastian. I want to read the statement from the University of New Mexico Communication and Marketing Department about the denial of the extension of the permit. This is the statement that we received from University Communication and Marketing. UNM administrators have decided not to approve a permit extension for the Unoccupy Albuquerque group at Yale Park. The group's current permit expires on Tuesday, October 25th at 10 p.m. The group has been notified of the denial. This is a press release from Monday. Notified of the denial of the permit extension and instructed to vacate Yale Park no later than 10 p.m. on October 25th. There have been issues with the park not being vacated at night in violation of the permit conditions. Additionally, an unintended consequence of Unoccupy Albuquerque's prolonged protest at the park is an increasing number of people attracted to the protest. Over the weekend, UNM processed a number of incident reports involving drunken and threatening behavior on people in Yale Park. Albuquerque police arrested one man who threatened several people with a knife, and there were several other incidents involving a man who was a registered sex offender in two states. One person died in the area over the weekend. The nature of the Unoccupy Albuquerque protest is that it attracts many different types of individuals, and there is no way to assess whether people are or are not part of the Unoccupy protest. So, as a result, the university has chosen not to approve a permit extension. Since the university has a growing concern about the safety and welfare of our students and the university community in general, administrators are requesting suggestions from the city of Albuquerque to help address the issues with the transients who have been attracted to the protest. That was the statement from the University of Communication University Communication and Marketing Department of the University of New Mexico on Monday, explaining the reason for denying the extension of the permit for the Unoccupy Albuquerque protest. You have taken some personal action in response to this. Explain what you're doing.
Well, as you said, we learned about this decision on Monday night at the assembly. And on Tuesday, I started at officially at 6 p.m. a hunger strike, requesting President Schmidtley to come to the assembly, meet with us, enter in a respectful dialogue about his position, but also commit to coming up with an agreement that will respect our freedom to assembly there while keeping, you know, the security of the area. And it is possible. We have removed the kitchen when we knew that the state police was going to come. And we have been gathering there without it. As I was saying, we have been committing to the request of UNM. And a lot of people are growing distrustful. And so all UNM has to do is come, meet, and there are lots of ways we can work this. But clearly, UNM is working like the city, the state, and the nation when it accuses a group like this of increasing these systemic problems. This homelessness, these people that are drunk and violent, and people dying out in the streets, is a problem of this system, and you know, it happens in this city and this state every day.
You're hearing from Sebastian Pais. He is a participant in the Unoccupy movement here in Albuquerque. Also joining us by phone on the line is Judith Lawson. She is the media coordinator for the Occupy Santa Fe movement. We'd like to hear from you. Have you gone down to the local Occupy location in your community? Have you attended a general assembly? If yes, why? And what did you see? If not, why not? Why did you not go down to the general assembly? What do you think of the strategies of local Occupy movements in your communities? And what is your response to the law enforcement response in places like Oakland, where police shot tear gas into crowds and used non-lethal rifles? Let's take a few calls. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866, or you can shoot us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Let's go to Glenn in Jemez Springs. Good morning, Glenn. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks again for this program. I went down to Unoccupy with another resident here in Jemez Springs who served 33 years in the Army and a retired teacher. Last weekend, I was walking with my friend Dimitri Martinez with about 200 people, and I'm very impressed with the quantity and quality of people responding to this. I am presently looking at Internet Oakland Tribune about Scott Olson, an Iraq veteran who was hit in the head with a police projectile and is in critical condition with a fractured skull, the first serious injury nationwide in the Occupy movement. I, as a former Navy chaplain from Vietnam area, am calling out to vets around the country to get involved. This Scott, who spent two tours of duty in Iraq, coming back, being injured by our police, a dozen different groups were called in from Northern California to help the Oakland police, and something got out of hand. I heard NPR News this morning how the mayor in New York is saying the movement is growing by people who are not participating, that our issues are very legitimate, very widespread, and touching 99% of us in this country. Again, please, veterans out there, get involved. This touches all of us, including you. And thank you so much, Sebastian, and Santa Fe, and everybody else who's holding up the issues and standing up. Good day.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Clifton in Albuquerque. Good morning, Clifton. You're on the air.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for having the show. Thanks to all of the people who are actively engaged. Your coordinator on the phone asked me if I'd been down there. I have not been down there. I have driven by and honked my horn. I have I have a comment and a question. It's always struck me as odd that the Unoccupy movement has chosen the university when it seems to me that maybe Civic Plaza might have been more thematically in line with the Occupy Wall Street movement. So I sort of am, as a non-participant, putting my 2 cents in that maybe they should move downtown where they can more effectively protest the financial aspect of what Occupy is expressing. But that said, more importantly, I do not have the ability to go down and spend a whole lot of time. And so for people like me who express sympathy and feel hope in the movement in terms of how it may or may not ultimately define itself and express fears and angst of the rest of us, how can we support the unoccupiers?
Great. Thanks, Clifton. Thanks for your call. Sebastian, so two questions. One, you heard this support from Clifton for the Unoccupy movement and yet his inability to participate actively by showing up. What would be helpful to the Unoccupy movement as far as support?
Well, supplies. We are doing a lot of art. We are trying to be very creative, and that's one of the main things that I think that made this movement interesting is the creativity involved, artists being part of it, and so paints and boards and all of that is very helpful. We do need to increase our technological capability to release news, to get internet access, to have our information journalists. Table going, and that's very important in order to communicate with other Occupy cities, and which is the media and such. So that is very helpful. Just stopping by and bringing some tea, in my case, but people might want to have a bite of something. So that's how originally like our kitchen was just a table with whatever people would bring. So that helps, and the honking always helps. Stopping for 5 minutes and saying, what you think about it, it's very helpful.
What about Clifton's question about the Unoccupy movement in Albuquerque's location? This question of would it be more appropriate to be situating the movement in downtown Albuquerque as opposed to the university location?
Yeah. And there have been discussions about this from day one on October 1st. And
why was UNM chosen then?
UNM was chosen because it's on Central. It has a large amount of traffic, not only by car but also by foot. A lot of students. We have over 20,000 students plus faculty and administration, and so that's one of the reasons. And that's one of the reasons why many people wouldn't want to go to Civic Plaza, because you only have a few small roads around it, and we see that it is possible that students will become more engaged than executives in downtown. So that's one of the reasons. But I have to make also note that many of us realize that whereas a place like UNM Yale Park is very, very important because it's symbolic and it's visible, we understand that whatever we are doesn't change our objective and our goals. So eventually, if the assembly decides to move somewhere else, it will still be great, and it will enhance the movement because we are moving together.
Judith, a question for you. What about this question of location and the meaning of the location in Santa Fe? Was that something that Occupy Santa Fe discussed, or was the rail yard more a location of convenience and access?
We discussed it heartily for a week. And this is the reality in the Southwest. the older cities of the East and of Europe have central financial districts, just as they have jewelers' districts and other very defined districts. Santa Fe and Albuquerque are very sprawled, and selecting a location that has symbolic and symbolic value and high visibility are two primary criteria. We did not from the beginning try to find permitted places or what we could do that would be totally legal and invisible. And Rail Yard Park is highly visible. It's adjacent to the busiest intersection in the city of Santa Fe. That is Cerrillos Road, where it crosses St. Francis Drive. So Rail Yard Park also is sometimes known as the People's Park. It was really rejuvenated and turned into this beautiful ecological gem that everyone in the city loves. It has gardens. It has vegetable gardens. Occupy Santa Fe has been offered a garden to do some winter growing in by the Rail Yard stewards. There are many organizations involved in the caretaking stewardship of Rail Yard Park. And it also gave us the ability to put up a beautiful banner on Cerrillos Road opposite Whole Foods. It in every way is an ideal location for us.
Super. Thanks, Judith.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 277-5866 or toll-free 877-899-5866. If the lines are busy, you can also send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We'll be right back with your calls.
Support comes from Saggio's, homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement and the local Occupy and Unoccupy movements here in New Mexico. What strategies are protesters using, and do you think that those strategies are effective? Let's go to Curtis in the East Mountains. Curtis, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for the subject that I think we all needed to have addressed more. I guess it's all timing, because we're seeing this movement happening around the country, and I see the violence that's being portrayed by the police in Oakland, and I'm heading out there today, and I'll probably be in Oakland tomorrow with my brothers and sisters out there to support this movement. And it boggled my mind. Here we are pushing democracy in countries around the world, and we don't even follow our own here in this country by letting the people speak their minds on a system that's basically going down the tubes due to the 1% of the population that's running the planet here.
Curtis, what would you like to see the local Occupy movements in New Mexico, what would you like to see as a strategy or demand from these movements?
I think we just need to hold fast and let our public officials know that we put them in office. We put them in their place to, what do you say, for the people, by the people. You know, I think what happens to these public officials once they promise the people all these wonderful things and they get into office and they forget where they came from, you know, they're part of that 99%, you know. They're not that 1%. We know who the 1% is. And I think that we need to just hold fast and let the world know that we're tired. We're done with the system that's only working for the 1% of the population, and we're seeing it in many different forms, in global warming and jobs and foreclosures, and people are suffering out here. And I think it's about time that we put the voice to the whole world and say, hey, this is a wake-up call. It truly is a wake-up call to what's going on in the so-called democracy. It's not working. It's really not working.
Great, Curtis. Thanks a lot for your call. We'll look forward to hearing from you about how things go out in Oakland when you get out there. Let's go next to Ellen in Albuquerque. Good morning, Ellen. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you. I want you to know I'm 75 years old, and I'm deeply in love with the unoccupied Albuquerque folks down there. And I've been there. I live about three blocks away in Albuquerque Grand Senior Living Center, and I'm over there at least three or four times a day.
And so
I don't stay over, but I love them.
So, Ellen, talk to me about what about the movement has you so in love with it? What does it mean to you personally?
It means they're speaking the truth. I believe that 99% of the population is a falling victim to the 1% who have a lot of money and are basically working at controlling the government. I think we have to take that back. Some people think that creating small businesses will help. I don't know, but I think the kids need to be out there and need to be visible. And I sure wish UNM would open its heart and let them come back to Yale to as Camp Coyote, because I think it's just wonderful that young people are out there working.
Great, great. Thanks a lot for your call, Ellen. Let's go to Daniel in Santa Fe. Good morning, Daniel. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. And thank you, people, for who are out there already doing the Occupy work. I haven't been out there myself yet, but I've been involved in activism. I'm in Veterans for Peace. And I'm a Gulf War vet, and a gentleman a few minutes ago mentioned, used the word democracy, and I think one of the fundamental problems here is that this has never really truly been a democracy in the United States. It's looked like it, and I fought in 1991 because I thought what they told me I was fighting for was true, and it turns out that it wasn't and never has been, and I've done a lot of my own studying that we can't export democracy, and you can't export something you don't have. And so this 99% thing with the cops and the firefighters and the EMTs and all these people, I think there's a lot of fear because we have the little that we have and we stand to lose it if we push the system too hard, because they can push back a lot harder. And the peaceful approach is the only one I've ever seen that has any validity. We invaded Iraq, we invade here, there, and everywhere. And I appreciate people who are doing what they're doing today. And I just wanted to say thank you to them, because I haven't had an opportunity to get out to do any of that footwork right now, but I'm involved in my own way with doing what they're doing.
Thanks
a
lot.
Thank all of you.
Thanks a lot for your call, Daniel. Let's go to Digger in Albuquerque. Good morning, Digger. You're on the air.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for providing this forum. I'm going to try to keep my remarks brief.
Thank you. We do have full phone lines, so of course that's always welcome. Succinct is always welcome.
I'm a supportive observer of the Occupy Wall Street effort nationally and specifically here. I've been to the General Assemblies of the group that's been meeting in Yale Park. And I've been to other meetings, and I've done what I could to be supportive, things like bringing water. But I really have to say, with all respect to your speakers and all respect to the people there who I applaud their nonviolence, their effort to organize and demonstrate democracy, I have to say I'm really alarmed, really disappointed. I think the Albuquerque expression of Occupy Wall Street is an instance of people with good intentions going off the rails. I think changing the name to a different name is so confusing to the public as to create an almost insurmountable barrier to bringing the public in. Unoccupied doesn't make any sense, frankly. And I defy anyone to give an explanation of what that means. It's not even a word. But more than that, I think Basically, the centering of it on the university campus put it in the ghetto of the university on the grounds of a corporation, you know, at the will of that corporation. I think it's naive to think that corporation would then foster anything that was threatening the corporate power. It seems obvious that the Occupy Wall Street movement in Albuquerque has to manifest itself and gather somewhere else. Right now, we don't have an Occupy Wall Street movement. We have a diversionary gathering and a confrontation with the university that is just it's a red herring, it's a distraction. That's my opinion. I'm sorry to have that opinion, but it really given it a lot of thought, and I hope that things are going to change. I hope that Occupy Wall Street Albuquerque will come into being somewhere else, not on the campus. Okay, thank you.
Great, bye. Digger. Thanks for your call. I want to go back to our two panelists this morning. Sebastian Pais is a participant in the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement. We're also joined by phone by Judith Lawson. She is the media coordinator with the Occupy Santa Fe movement. I'd like to hear from both of you these questions about the focus of the movements that you're involved with and the idea of strategies and goals. We talked a little bit about the choice of location, so I don't think we need to revisit that point necessarily. Judith, can you talk a little bit about what the Occupy Santa Fe movement is? Is there a movement towards establishing goals, strategies, things to be negotiated for besides the ability to occupy a space in Santa Fe?
Yes and yes. Let me explain. This is a movement which has grown and is growing organically. It is a true grassroots global movement, and it is messy because democracy, direct democracy, where you are present and accountable rather than represented, as in participatory so-called representative democracy, which hasn't worked in the United States for many, many reasons. But this movement, we are standing on the shoulders of the other great social movements. This is a movement of social justice, economic justice for all, looking right directly at the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, those documents on which this country has been built. And there are many, many issues. It's like a tangled ball of yarn, and the only way to cut through this Gordian knot is with the sword of direct consensual democracy. And so even I, who come from a background of trained for the diplomatic service and then journalism and a lot of spiritual practice as well, I believe wholeheartedly that is what we must do. And I'll leave it at that and love to hear from callers.
Sure. Sebastian, what about your response? There has been some significant coverage about the change in the name of the Occupy Albuquerque movement to Unoccupy, that it's related to the history of European colonization of the Southwest and in solidarity with indigenous and Native American populations in an acknowledgement of what, you know, some members of those communities believe is an existing occupation of indigenous land, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's my understanding. Is that about correct?
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about what Unoccupy Albuquerque is. Are there goals, strategies, when you think about negotiating for something that you want in a circumstance like this, what are the things that you want to see that are things that could be done by whom?
Well,
aside from staying on UNM campus, yeah. That one's clear.
I think clearly the number one thing is that people are getting tired of having to wait two or 4 years to elect somebody to do for us. So I think number one thing is that, like with President Smedley and me being a hunger strike, is they have to come and listen daily to us. So the first thing is us doing. And us doing means we going to the streets and debating among ourselves, but also going and calling these public servants and having them listening to us, not waiting until we vote and taking that as our opinion. So that's the number one thing. We are calling out all these public servants to come and listen to what we have to say, because many of them are just going by what the media is saying. And all he has to do, for example, here is walk about two blocks to meet with us. The same with the mayor and the same with the governor. That is from our part, and that's all they have to do is to come and listen and let's figure this out together. We are not against any one person. We are against a system that clearly is not helping 99% of the people. And in that 99% of the people, you have the very, very poor, and you have some pretty rich people. And clearly, we are part of them as well.
But let me ask this. When you say, you know, this movement is protesting a system, mm-hmm. and you, but yet without isolating people that can make changes in that system and saying we're not against any one person, how is there any place to focus the attention? Is it that the protest then has such a diffuse and kind of nuanced and complicated way of looking at the world that there's no way to focus on one thing and get even just one thing done?
Well, no, they are representing a system. And so, of course, when we call them out and they are not doing what we expect as people that are voting for them or paying their salaries, of course, they are then supporting the system we are fighting against. And so, but we believe they know this. But them as human beings, as our neighbors, they have been alienated by this system. It is a traditional liberation theology view that we as the working class or, you know, the professionals have been alienated by this system. But those that provoking the oppression are more alienated than we are. So we are respectful towards them, their life and their way of understanding the world. We understand also that the way of understanding the world has been deeply shaped by a system that alienates and corrupts ideas and our basic humanness.
Great. Thanks, Sebastian. You're hearing, this is Sebastian Pais. He is a participant in the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement. We also have Judith Lawson on the line from the Occupy Santa Fe movement. Let's take some calls. Rob in Albuquerque, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Elaine. I was interested, I was reading over the weekend that the police and politicians moving against the various Occupy movements. And in each case, it was talking about attacks basically that were against the people who were in the movement, you know, because of homeless people, because of attacks, you know, knife attacks, et cetera, that, you know, these Occupy groups had to disperse. And essentially what we have is a police problem to protect the right of the protesters and what the protest and the protest site. You know, it's not something, it's a blame the victim kind of issue here. If you had something with a Tea Party demonstration and a labor union activist attacked them, you wouldn't hear calls for the Tea Party protest to disassemble because they were attacked. So that's the main point that I want to make. We have to be careful about how, especially for you folks in the media, about how these things are being portrayed and why, you know, police and politicians are actually moving against these groups. And I believe that someone used the term supportive observers. I think Sebastian and others should know that there are a lot of people out there who are not directly taking part, but who are kind of silently or publicly cheering people on, and it's a lot of people. So I hope that that's understood. And it's heartening to me as well that there are global links that are being made. An Egyptian activist was recently in New York, I believe, at the Occupy Wall Street movement. We have a lot in common with Greek protesters as well, who are watching benefits be taken over, basically so that CEOs and other people who are making hundreds of times what their minimum wage workers make can prosper further. That kind of focus and that kind of focus on the class aspect of it really has to be there.
Super, Rob. I'm gonna have to pause you there. Thanks so much for your call this morning. We've got a full bank of callers, and I'd like to move on to the next person. Thanks for your call this morning. Barbara in Albuquerque, you're on the air, and if you can keep your comments relatively succinct, that would be helpful so we can get as many people on the air as possible.
Great. I am a supporter of Occupy Wall Street, and I told your phone stacker that I missed a little bit of the program this morning because I was sleeping in since I didn't get any sleep at jail the other night.
You were arrested in Albuquerque?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess I just want to say that the both Sebastian and the last caller, but Sebastian's remarks about the oppression of the system, you know, one of the things that we found out at the jail was that they steal your stuff out there and lose it, and hundreds of dollars worth of body jewelry, clothing, et cetera, was stolen, and probably the people who are out there, and this is all done ostensibly because haters are going to beat you up in your jail cell, other people who are in the jail because of whatever, and, you know, those people don't have anybody to speak for them when their stuff is stolen. We're sure going to get up and speak about this, but the system is incredibly oppressive, and it's designed to be oppressive, particularly there where you're bad and you need to have your voice and all your rights taken away because, you know, you were bad and you had to be locked up. And I think we need to talk about that in the context of all of this as well. You know, the city and their failure to address homelessness, the problem of the occupation, various occupations being expected and demanded to police themselves when these incidents happen is a broader dialogue that I really think should be happening. I was trying to go online. I'm having some computer problem this morning, but I wanted to say that Mayor Berry is supposedly entertaining public dialogue, I think, at the Hispanic Cultural Center today, and maybe people should go down there. We haven't asked the mayor, to, as far as I know, about an occupation site on city property, but I think that perhaps we should. I mean, the fact that the university is shutting down the right of assembly and the right of free speech in Yale Park. Last night they arrested somebody reading a book on a bench in the park. They're not even allowing access to students to read books or study there anymore. And I think these are completely outrageous actions on behalf of the university against our community. And I guess I'll just leave it at that and see if anybody else has anything. Thanks for taking my call.
Super, Barbara. Thanks a lot for your call this morning. Let's go to Roadrunner in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air.
Elaine, thank you. Thanks for this good show. I wanted to share that I am just so pumped to be able to go down to the Occupy every night. And I wanted to share what the slice of life that you get at 3:30 in the morning on Central, being there, and the profound encouragement and support by people driving by. I've never seen anything like it, not in war protests, and it's just amazing that it cuts across all that. I think the best strategy or tactic is to be diligently nonviolent, creative, keep on with the democratic action of general assemblies, even though it's pretty frustrating, continue to negotiate and collaborate. We need to build a broad base of support with the moderates and the suits. We need to get people down there. People want to be there. And you ask about the diffused and nuanced and complicated message. Let me see if I can drill it down for you to one word, kleptocracy. Klepto meaning stealing, ocracy meaning rule by. I think we can all unite by the fact that we are being ruled by thieves, and that's something we have in common. It's not that complicated, and if you start from there, you have a lot of unity.
Super. Thanks a lot for your call, Roadrunner. Let's hear from Bill in Albuquerque. Good morning, Bill. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I am involved in Unoccupy Albuquerque. Hello, Sebastian. Greetings, Judith. And my point question was we've been strategizing a lot of stuff that we've been doing to reach out to different communities here in New Mexico, which if we all saw in Albuquerque Journal last week, is now second in the U.S. in foreclosure activities, New Mexico. So our communities are being decimated and devastated, and this is ties into our call for economic justice for all, as Judith in Santa Fe mentioned. And we're also planning our long-term strategy is a moratorium on foreclosures. And this means tactically working with many different communities affected, our allies in political office, and really targeting the banks. Again, this goes back to our central demand. You know, the banks got bailed out. We got sold out. And they're the ones, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, that are foreclosing on the Mexican families. And we're saying stop foreclosures now is our we can say demand, and we invite all people to come out and help with this this Friday at the intersection of Cesar Chavez and Broadway. We will be firing people returning to their homes from 4 to 6 p.m., and we invite all the listeners to come out and help with that. And, of course, also we do have a working group committee, which based on foreclosure, which is meeting daily also after the General Assemblies, which are at 6 p.m. Around Yale Park. We're trying to get back into Yale Park, and hopefully Sebastian's hunger strike brings more attention to it and is successful in getting Schmidley to enter into dialogue with us. But I guess if I had a question, I was just wondering in Santa Fe if there's any foreclosure work going on or any thoughts about that.
Super. Thanks a lot for your call, Bill. Judith, I'm going to have you hold on that response about foreclosure work for a second. I want to go to Desi Brown. He is with the University of New Mexico Peace Studies Program. Good morning, Desi. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning. You bet.
What would you like to add to the conversation this morning?
I guess the biggest thing that I'd like to address is this, the issue of the freedom to assemble, the freedom to associate, and the freedom of speech that the university is clearly trying to shut down on campus based on their decision that they made late yesterday afternoon. I've been involved with as a mediator as part of the Peace Studies program along with some faculty members and students since almost day one with this situation. And the university has yet to be forthcoming in any of their conversations with us. They've never actually directly approached any members of the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement at all. I think it's just really important for faculty members, for students, regardless of what their political interests and persuasion are, and for community members to recognize that this is an amazing breach of those rights that are guaranteed in our Constitution. There are a number of folks kind of working behind the scenes right now to try to organize some faculty members and into some kind of a response, hopefully today.
Desi, let me get you to hang on for one second.
Sure.
I got to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back with a couple more calls. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement and local Occupy and Unoccupy movements here in New Mexico. We'll be right back with your calls.
Your phone can magically turn that old car or truck into great radio. Just call toll-free 888-KUNM-CAR, and voila. A tow truck appears, hauls it away, and turns it into a terrific program like the one you're listening to right now. We know you. You like a quiet life. So we won't tell a soul about your magical powers, but we will give you a KUNM membership and a tax deduction. So go ahead. Work your magic. Call 888-KUNM-CAR.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement and related movements here in New Mexico. We've got Desi Brown on the line. He is with the Peace Studies Program at the University of New Mexico. We're running short on time at the end of the show, Desi, but I'm wondering if you could give us a brief update on what next steps are in your kind of working with the Unoccupy Albuquerque movement and UNM administration.
What we're trying to do as a program is we're still trying to connect with the administration, who has basically not agreed to meet with either the Occupy members, the people who wanted the permit, and us as mediators for the last 3 days. So we're still trying to get that to happen, publicly. And then we're also, trying to organize some kind of response to what the university did yesterday. State Rep Brian Egoff asked for a stay in the eviction of the protesters a couple of days ago, and are hoping that with enough public pressure from faculty, students, and the community, that other elected leaders will come forward in the same way and essentially force the administration to come back to the table and talk about the concerns that they had with the permit so that those concerns can be addressed, so that so that the movement can continue to meet on public space and continue the public dialogue about the issues that Occupy Wall Street is all about.
Thanks so much for your call this morning, Desi. We're going to take a few more calls from listeners. And just a note for you listeners who, when I take your call, if you can keep your comments short, that's the more people we can get on the air before the end of the show. Let's go to Jim in Los Lunas. Good morning, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hi. You know, my family feels very strongly about this movement, and we have been as involved as we can, but because of the distance in our lifestyles, you know, we can't do as much as we'd like to. So I'd like to throw my cell phone number out there, and anybody who's in Los Lunas, Belen, and their surrounding communities who would like to think about putting together a group here, that's, you know, that's what I'd like to do. So my name is Jim. My cell phone number is 363-4715. Please call me and let's put something together.
And
before you
hang up, Jim, I'd also like to mention that the KUNM Radio Facebook page, we post information about the call-in show there, and certainly connect KUNM listeners. You can go to KUNM Radio on Facebook, and you could also share your information there. Also, a bunch of the Occupy movements have Facebook pages where I know a lot of organizing and exchange takes place among participants and interested parties.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call this morning. Let's go to Elliot in Albuquerque. Elliot, we're running up against the show. If you can keep your comments short, that would be great. You're on the air.
Thanks. I just want to say I've listened to the entire show, and I hope that the Unoccupy Wall Street participants have heard some of the criticisms that have come from the people who are supporting this movement, but who have said, listen, you're in danger of disassociating yourselves from the movement that nationally is the phenomenon that we know as occupied, not unoccupied. And the issue of veterans, you know, veterans who sacrificed are coming back and don't have jobs, and Wall Street hasn't sacrificed, and people whose homes are being foreclosed on. That's what this is about. And I just hope that, you know, I'm concerned that this issue with the university is just a big distraction, and it's taking away from where this movement should be, which is just the focused direct action on corporate entities that are really responsible for the malfeasance that's driven our economy into the ditch. So I respect everybody who's participating, but I just urge that we not lose the focus and risk going into what we had in London. So, because that's not what it is. We don't want to just be a bunch of people running around talking about all of our different issues. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Elliot. Thanks for your call. One last caller this morning, Doug in Albuquerque. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I'd just like to comment about what I see as a scapegoating of the quote-unquote 1% and for our national problems. And it seems to me that what we have is a national problem that encompasses a lot more than just the 1%. And it also really bothers me when people diss our representative form of government because it isn't direct democracy. It was set up the way it is for a purpose, and I personally prefer it to direct democracy, and I think a lot of people do as well.
Are you, Doug, are you sympathetic at all with the Occupy Wall Street movement, despite the concerns that you've expressed?
I'm sympathetic to some extent, but when people start complaining that, you know, they're not being let stay in a park overnight after someone died there and the police had to be called out to break up fights, I think that, you know, they aren't living up to their ideals of nonviolent protest, and that they shouldn't be surprised that they're not being allowed to stay overnight in a park when, you know, someone died and there are a bunch of fights.
Great.
And the police have to be called out. So it seems like they're asking for special treatment when no other group would get that kind of treatment.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning, Doug. You've been listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. Our guest this morning, Sebastian Pais, is a participant in the Unoccupy movement in Albuquerque. And then we also have Judith Lawson on the line from the Occupy Santa Fe movement. Briefly, Sebastian, upcoming events, just a couple information where people could go online to get information about Unoccupy Albuquerque.
Okay, right now they can go find us on Facebook. There is a number of websites. So you can look for the old website, which is Occupy Albuquerque Official. And events, well, tonight at 5, there is going to be a protest against us not having the rights to be on public land, whatever this is, there is an attack on our right to assembly and discuss political issues. So that's at 5, but I also want to extend this 5 o'clock protest at Yale Park to be also a march in solidarity with Scott Olsen and have that as our main struggle.
Great. Thanks, Sebastian. Judith, any online information? There's the Occupy Santa Fe Facebook page. Is that where people should go for information?
Our website has just gone up, Elaine. It is www.OccupySantaFeNM.org.
We'll put a link to that on our website here at KUNM.org, along with other information from Judith Lawson in Santa Fe. This has been the KUNM Call-In Show. Roman Garcia was our engineer this morning. Mike Hess was screening calls. Andy Lyman was working as our news intern. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We'll be back next week, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock here on KUNM.